We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome in to the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I'm Peck, Bulls underscore Peck. Big day, bow, B-A-W-L Sports, Will the Go Gottlieb, rocking the Coors Light gear, Will underscore Gottlieb. That's a dope shirt. I need one of those. Our pal producer on the controls is Joey Spathis at Joey Spathis.
Joey No Seat.
Joey No Seat. Joey Crouchdown.
That's right, Crouchdown.
Crouching over there like a troll.
He's limber, man. He's got to let you know.
Yeah, right. More limber than I am. That's for certain.
You could do that, man. Stress it out. Oh, yoga God, in your life. No. You'll be fine.
I'm sore today for no reason at all. Hope everybody has had a great start to their Tuesday. We've got a fun night on deck. We got Chicago baseball on deck. NHL draft lottery. They get their first turn tonight. We got to wait until Sunday for the Bulls NBA draft lottery.
Yes.
And they're going to be hanging out here watching the Hawks and flipping some cards, doing a live show for the NHL draft lottery. So hang out here.
Do you know where they're predicted to land?
Hawks have the second highest lottery odds for the number one overall pick behind only the San Jose Sharks, I believe.
They are.
The Blackhawks have a 13 point something percent chance of the number one pick.
Guaranteed at a top four pick because of where they finished, which I believe was in the bottom three. But, you know, you look back to last year, I believe they actually have a higher percentage to land the number one pick than they did last year.
And what's the deal with the NFL draft this year? There's no Bedard, but Celebrini's very good?
Celebrini, yes, to my knowledge, and I honestly know nothing. But
I'm surprised they even pulled Celebrini, to be quite honest with you.
Based on what I've heard, Macklin Celebrini is a very good prospect, not the Bedard level, but a clear-cut number one in this draft.
Clear cut. Okay. There it is.
So hopefully hopefully we'll get some good luck for a second season in a row. Because, man, watching our Hawks guys react to that number one pick.
I don't think I've ever seen Mario emote.
Dude, ever. Mario ever. Lost his shit. Like, and
even,
it was great.
A little bit. Like, even playing softball, he's like making diving coolest, catches. Man.
Yeah. Nothing.
That one time.
Yeah. It would be like you doing that.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
someday
be doing
Bulls
that today
fans
when
will
we're
be
talking
so
about
lucky.
Some cap shit, baby.
Hey,
welcome to the wheelhouse.
Maybe we'll be in a similar situation next year when we've got a Cooper flag to think about.
We are in the wheelhouse.
Just got to keep that top 10 protected pick, baby. speaking of Bulls draft picks, incoming, outgoing, we wanted to touch on all of the nitty-gritty of what lies ahead for this Bulls offseason and the big challenge facing Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, kind of piggybacking off of a great breakdown that Will wrote for allchgo.com that came out yesterday. Hopefully y'all have had a chance to read that. If not, go and read it after we have this conversation today. Wanting to touch on things like not only where the Bulls stand with their draft capital, whose impending free agencies lie ahead on their roster from the 23-24 season, salary cap figures across the NBA, the Bulls cap situation, the exceptions at their disposal, and which directions the Bulls could go when it comes to let's be honest, I saw somebody making a comment about the thumbnail of Grandpa Jerry for today's episode. Keeping this team under the luxury tax,
yeah,
which is where we know they need to be.
Correct.
Because AK said in his season-ending press conference, well, we got to be a top four seed in the East.
Correct.
And then we'll maybe pay the luxury tax, which is not where they are now.
No, they're not. Nowhere close.
So we're going to talk a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at some sheets. Let's we're going to look at some cap sheets. And we're going to get the best of the best GOAT breaking down all kinds of very difficult money decisions that lie ahead, because the run it back 4.0, hypothetically, as you laid out in your column, Will, financially does not work.
Yeah, it does not.
Does not work. So they got to figure out something else.
Yeah, I love the defense Will played in this. It was like the Minnesota Timberwolves, man. Took out every option you had and said, no, no, no.
Just preemptive attack, I believe, is what they call it. Let me explain to y'all why this won't work.
Yeah. It was really well done.
So speaking just on draft picks, they have their own this year. Lottery's on Sunday, projected 11th. They have a 9.5% chance to jump into the top four. Decent odds.
Decent.
Non-zero odds. They don't have their own second-round pick this year. They also don't have their own second-round pick next year. Correct. And then, of course, as I just mentioned with the Cooper Flagg commentary, lottery-protected 2025 first-round pick that they owe to San Antonio from the DeMar sign and trade. And then something I had completely forgotten about, Will.
I know
what
you're going to say, because I did too.
The Bulls still technically have a pick coming their way from Portland.
Completely forgot.
They sure do. That one is lottery-protected every year until 2028. If it does not convey by 2028, becomes a 2028 second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Just one. Sometimes teams like will get two if it doesn't convey into a first. But the Bulls only got one here. That was in the Lowry Markkanen for Derek Jones Jr. three-team sign and trade.
Yes.
Tears.
But I have to say, I mean, the Portland Trail Blazers are kind of in the infancy of their rebuild. In the next 4 years, can they make the playoffs? Possible, but maybe a little bit unlikely, just given how raw some of their top players are. Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe. I wouldn't be banking on that turning into a pick. And even if they do get it, it's going to be, at best, number 15. Sure. So that is an asset they have to potentially trade, though. They've got a couple of second-round picks starting, I believe, in 2028, 29, and 2030 that they can trade. But basically, one of the interesting things here is that because they owe this pick, top 10 protected to the Spurs, they can't trade their own first-round picks until 2 years after that conveys. So they could trade it. But it would have to, like, the language in the trade would have to be starting 2 years after this pick conveys, which could either be in 2027, if it if it conveys next year. Basically, because of the step-in rule, you can't trade picks in back-to-back years.
Right.
So it would have to be kicking the can down the road. And that also prevents them from being able to trade more than two future first-round picks at the same time. But, you know, I don't think they're in a position where they should be trading those picks, but it does kind of set the groundwork for what their options are this summer. You know, they've got a lot of outgoing picks, or they've got, you know, protections on the picks that they have outgoing that make it a little bit more difficult to continue to kind of throw those at players that can help them win now.
Okay. Can you talk to me real quick about the Portland pick? Because you did mention that they do have an opportunity to trade that, right?
Yeah, that one is tradable. I think teams are probably going to view that as closer to a second-round pick than a first-round pick.
Because that basically is the question. Are the Blazers going to make the playoffs at any point between now and 2028 when it switches to a second-rounder?
Exactly. And I think, you know, it probably makes sense.
In the West?
No. Like, that's the kind of thing
tough ask.
I could imagine the Bulls saying, we'll attach this one to Zach LaVine because it's not going to be super valuable. Like I said, the best it can be is 15th. That's probably something where, you know, the optics of, like, we got a pick to trade for Zach LaVine, like, that looks pretty good. You know, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Zach. There's a world where they get stuff for him. There's a world where they have to give up to get off of him. But that's kind of a lower to mid-tier asset that the Bulls do have in their back pocket from when AK turned the roster over initially.
Okay.
So I'm with you. Like, I don't think the Bulls should be considering trading out more picks as far as their offseason to-do list is concerned. Let's just hope they get themselves a solid player with their first-round pick in this upcoming draft. Maybe they'll get lucky and jump up. And then prioritizing keeping their pick next year, too. Like, yep. I seriously think that that's where their focus should lie. But just for the sake of pointing out that it is a possibility, not only could they attach that Portland pick to something, you also pointed out that they could trade their first-round pick this year on draft night if they wanted to.
That is correct. Because of the way the protections work, And I mentioned the Stepien rule, which prevents you from trading picks in multiple years in a row. They can trade it on draft night. They could also, you know, make a trade with another team that's traded their future picks out and get a pick back on draft night. So that is potentially one of the pros for not having traded DeRozan or Caruso at the deadline, is now you open up the opportunity to get into the draft this year with a team like, you know, the Lakers, for example, is going to be able to trade their pick on draft night, whereas they could not have traded it at the trade deadline.
Sorry, go ahead, bro.
Okay. So then just the next thing on Will's breakdown was who they have decisions to make regarding free agency or possible free agency this summer, now that we've gotten draft picks taken care of. Obviously, we know DeMar, the biggest and maybe first domino to fall.
Yeah.
But you also pointed out whether or not the Bulls would feel comfortable if it was something like that 2 years 80 that was reported, doing that before they know and have resolved the Zach LaVine situation. They got Patrick Williams, restricted, maybe coming back next year on a prove-it year qualifying offer, which would be, what, 12 million-ish?
12.9.
Then you got Drummond and Javante, unrestricted free agency, probably going to say goodbye to both of them, you would assume. Torrey Craig has a player option on his two-year deal that he signed last summer. Batum, what's going on with Batum's deal, Will?
Batum's deal is similar to Carly Jones, if you guys remember this from last year.
Right.
Where there was like
MVP
partial guarantees. I believe the Bulls can waive him with zero cap hit, meaning effectively just cut him from the roster and him not have any money that holds onto the books beyond that, if done by, I believe, the first day of the season. And then, you know, there's another one where it's like 33% of his money is guaranteed by January 1st, things like that. So they can clear that off and wipe off a little bit more space. But there's also a world where they say, look, I mean, he's a contributor on as low a salary as we're going to find. He can shoot. We've had him in our system. Like, maybe it is worth it to keep him as your 14th or 15th man just because he's going to be cheap and there's, you know, a level of continuity there.
But do you feel like it's worth it? I mean, being at 14, and I don't understand the contract, but he is coming off of eye surgery.
Yep. I mean, it really just depends. I think, you know, let's say the Bulls end up trading LaVine. If they can get one player back, then maybe you have a little bit more leeway to keep a guy like Batum.
Okay.
If they have to take two or three big salaries back in order to kind of match, or the other team's not willing to take on a certain percentage of Zach's contract, now you got to make some roster cuts, and he's probably one where you're feeling a little bit safe doing that. Like, yeah. Javante, obviously, is a free agent this year. They can re-sign him at the veterans minimum, and he'd probably be a priority over Batum, assuming that's the direction that they go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what's going to happen with Torrey Craig. I mean, he's making the veterans minimum this year. There's a world where he picks that up and continues to play for the Bulls. I think there's also a world where he says, I can make the veterans minimum on a team that's going to contend, and I want to go play there. So it's possible that he stays. I think it's also possible that he leaves.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of been looking at it under the assumption that he's going to leave, just because I think there's probably more interesting options out there for him.
Yeah, it seems like he wants to. I mean, he could do what Derrick Jones Jr. did as well, and you see how he's thriving
in
his decisions.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Took less money,
And then, of course, Henry Drell and the people's champion, Adamus Anogo, on two ways.
They're on two ways. Their contracts are over, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they bring Adama back for sure. Drell has been in their system for a while. I feel like that was, again, similar to Karlik, where they kind of elevated him at the end of the season just because it was like, you know, he had earned it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be surprised if he's back on another two-way.
Julia in the comments saying, Torrey Craig can walk. Do you think Torrey's picking up that option, Will?
Yeah, I would lean no. I would lean he'll have better options out there in free agency. But
it's a modest contract.
Yeah. It's a minimum. So, like, if he does sign the minimum for another team, it would match that. Maybe he gets a little bit more, and you know, with a exception or part of one, which we can talk about.
Yeah, his skill set in that contract, he'll be sought after by.
Yeah, even after an underwhelming season like this one, yeah, I think he's still a vet that some teams would talk to. Yeah.
It's crazy. And like the Bulls might also, sorry Joey, the Bulls might also say like, Javante jumped you in the rotation. We kind of prefer him. Patrick Williams is coming back. Like, is there going to be a lot of minutes for you at power forward? Like, they could kind of urge him out the door if they don't want him to pick that up.
It's crazy how much the failed alley-oop stuck in my mind every time we say Torrey Craig now.
I mean, that's going to be the lasting image of his Bulls tenure if he doesn't pick up his player option.
All I can think about now.
Yeah, man.
It's all I can think about
now. And Torrey did play through injury at the end of the year. He came back from a couple of longer injuries, and he was not 100%. So it's possible that he's back and playing at a higher level, a little bit more productive to where he does jump Javante back in the rotation. But again, you know, assuming DeRozan and Patrick Williams are back, the front court, as much as they do need help there, mm-hmm. It's not like it's not crowded.
Yeah.
True.
Lars in the comments said, the league is seriously sleeping on Javonte. Warriors could have used him. I'm sure if you took a straw poll among Bulls fans, like, hey, do you want to see Javonte Green back in a Bulls jersey? It would probably 90, be
95%.
I mean, yeah. Maybe not that, but like, I would guess over 50% would say yes. It's like, hey, remember how we complained about having no legit power forwards and not enough bigs on this team?
Yeah.
Got to bring back Javonte. Good old six foot four.
The funny thing about that is, like, he is a power forward.
Yeah.
Like, the way he plays, he has to be position. A power forward. So, yes, he's undersized, but, like, I don't know. There's like, this frustration with the roster not having power forwards. Patrick's got to be a three. Javonte's too small. Caruso's not a four. It's like, those guys kind of all are power forwards.
Yes.
Like it or not.
Yeah. And speaking of Caruso, you also pointed out in your offseason guide that his contract, year three, which was partially guaranteed, becomes fully guaranteed on June 30th. Mm. And then also on January 6th, the first day that teams can actually sign players to new contracts after the new free agency rule, where they, like, instead of doing this at midnight, which is dumb, let's move it up to whatever it is, 5 or 6 p.m. on June 30th. Mm. But that's just in terms of making agreements. They can't actually sign until July 6th. Caruso could, on July 6th, sign, as you pointed out, a four-year, nearly $80 million extension.
Crazy.
But
don't.
Let's put a pin in that. And we got to take our first ad break, because when we come back, we can dive into what the salary cap figures are, luxury tax, aprons, Yay! And such, and where the Bulls are, which you did a really great job laying out, Will, in your column, because when you start to add up these numbers, you're like, does not compute.
What are we doing here?
Does not compute. So we will talk about that 24-25 NBA season salary cap and where the Bulls would lie at, underneath, or over it, should they bring back some of these characters who are impending free agents. While we are sharing these words from our friends and sponsors, you know what to do. Hit that thumbs up button if you're watching along on YouTube, maybe catching the replay on YouTube. Make sure you also subscribe to the CSGO Sports YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Dave, who's first today?
Well, keeping yourself trim, slim, and looking right.
Mm.
Manscaped.
Always.
Is what you're going to need. Why do I know that? Because Joey Spathis uses it.
That's right.
So that's why I know it's all correct.
Confirmed.
Mowing that lawn,
baby. That's right. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your ultimate beach bod? Well, you're in luck, because our friends over at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. The ultimate all-in-one grooming kit is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping when you use those codes. Bulls, B-U-L-L-S is the code. Let's make summer one of your smoothest yet. Embrace that summer bod goals that you might have, y'all, and use the all-inclusive Performance Package 5.0. It is perfect for those aiming for that crisp, clean, and confident look. The three C's is what you're going to need this summer, y'all, if you want to look your best. Keep your ears and your nose tidy. It's important. As your hedges next door with the Weed Whacker 2.0 ear, nose, and hair trimmer. Ooh. Pesky hairs be gone. Get out. And surprise, your package comes with a free two Boxers 2.0 Midnight Bravo. Comfort style that fit like a dream. I can attest to this. Those draws are awesome. So get 20% off plus free shipping, like I said, when you use that code BULLS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping when you use that code BULLS at manscaped.com. The summer sun is here to stay. So trust Manscaped to keep your pubes at bay.
Ayo. It's just been a weird combination of summer sun and monsoon season in Chicago today.
Yeah, I saw shirtless Wonder come out for like 3 seconds, and it went right back inside.
Right as we were at the final minute or two of that first segment, there was just like a torrential downpour out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Today's show also brought to you by our friends at Circa Sportsbook, who offer those tight money line splits and use that low hold model, always striving for their starting odds on any game, point total over unders, game spreads, money lines to be -110 odds out of the gate. Unlike a lot of other sports bettors these days who use the -115 or -120 starting point on those game odds for no reason at all. just stealing that value from your pocket to keep it in theirs. Not Circa, though. Mm-mm. Almost always minus 110 starting odds. They also keep as little money as possible on large market bets like futures bets in the NBA. If you're feeling like you got a good idea for who's raising that Larry O'Brien next month, make a bet on it at Circa because you'll find the best value on those futures like that, too. Maybe you're a big golfing fan. All the three remaining golf major championships we got coming up later this summer, best place to make bets on those also at Circa. Circa also doesn't limit their players based on winnings. Oh. Every player has the same limits, unlike other sports books who limit their winning players, their hot streak players. Mm. They encourage bettors to, of course, download and explore their Circa Sports Illinois app, but download and try any sports betting app you are curious about. They know you have options these days as a sports bettor. They're That's confident. Right. More often than not, you're going to find better experience, better value, better user interface, and they know you'll find the best customer service
the best
at Circa compared to their competitors. Real people behind that Circa sports brand who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion, unlike other sports books who use the dreaded good-for-nothing, let's destroy them chatbots. Ah. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa's various events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
.com.
Anthony in a comment said, if PG-13 leaves the Clippers, will the Bulls try to kick the tires on him, especially if DeMar leaves or if they trade Zach? Oh, Anthony, you sweet summer child. PG doesn't want to come here. PG wants to win.
Does he? Does he, though?
I mean, I think people have been speculating that maybe PG is sick of the Clippers, even though, like, he's from the L.A. area. Maybe just sick of the fact that Kawhi Leonard is never healthy.
Never.
And he's especially never come healthy. Playoff time.
Yeah.
First round, they're gone.
So he wants to go where? To Philly? Where Embiid's?
Philly is the one I hear the most.
Like, okay.
Orlando
Embiid
is the one
also that hurt often.
But at least in Philly, he'll have somebody in the backcourt to play with. You mean like James Harden, Dave? Yes, exactly the same.
But I think the real thing here is that there's just no way the Bulls open enough space to beat players here without completely gutting their roster to where it just makes no sense to go that direction in the first place.
Anthony in the comments also asking about the whole Lonzo picking up his option and how that may or may not affect the whole career-ending injury thing. Hold on to that thought because we will get to it because you touched on that, Will.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so as far as the next season's salary cap, $141 million. Luxury tax line at $172. Gosh, that NBA salary cap, man.
Low, baby.
Crazy. First apron at $179 million, second apron at $190 million.
Yeah.
Numbers that Bulls fans don't need to concern themselves with right now.
Ever.
The luxury tax apron? What's that? But so, Will, you are under the assumption, and I think most would be too, that the Bulls are going to operate as an over-the-cap team through this offseason while still doing everything they can to figure out how to be an under-the-tax-line team next season. The Bulls, if they do operate above the cap, below the tax, would have that full mid-level exception, which next season you pointed out would be nearly $13 million for that annual salary. What's the situation with the Bulls and their biannual? I can't remember whether or not they used it on anybody this past season because can only use that every other year.
Yeah, they used it 2 years ago on Tristan Thompson.
Oh, that was goody. Last time that worked out.
So they would have that again. But if it puts them over the tax, they're not going to use it, right? So they would use some portion of it to get up to the tax line depending on how the other roster pieces shake out. And, you know, this is for specifically for free agents. You know, they could use it to re-sign somebody like a Drummond who they have his early bird rights. They could give him a raise up to, I think, like $5 million, $5.2 million, something like that. But in all likelihood, they will be able to use this full mid-level exception or a portion of it on a free agent the way that they did last year with Javon Carter. And obviously, that one didn't work out so well, but the one that they used before was Alex Caruso. So you have potential there to get someone who can be an impact player, but none of that is going to matter if the Bulls are so close to the luxury tax line that using any of it would put them over the tax. And I think that's kind of, we'll get to it, but that's kind of the situation that they're in right now. And as we know, the Bulls have paid the luxury tax just one time in franchise history. And the reporters have asked Arturis about it multiple times. And he did go into like the most detail we've heard from him.
Sure.
In this most recent press conference, he said, "My approach looking at the luxury tax is that if you can prove that your team is going to be in the top four, you go into the luxury tax. It just makes no sense to be in the play-in and you're going to be in the luxury tax. As long as I can put a team together that is going to be competing top four in the East, that's when you'll start looking at retaining guys and going into the tax."
I thought of Matt immediately when you wrote that.
Please. So how about you build a team that's not always in the play-in tournament?
I heard him in my ear immediately.
You old dirty bastard. But
I think the, you know, AK did not really like, he kind of had some generalizations, right? He kind of said, we need to make some change. There's mutual interest in DeRozan. There's mutual interest in Patrick Williams. Mm-hmm. We're going to be aggressive. Like, he didn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. But in this last part where he says, you start to look at retaining guys and go into luxury tax if you're competing. That was interesting.
Yeah.
That might have been a little bit of a tip of his hand there. I don't know if it's referring to DeMar. I don't know if it's referring to Andre Drummond or Patrick Williams or any of those free agents that they have. But at the end of the day, you know, they said that they're going to make change. And I think that becomes very difficult, assuming you try to bring everybody back. I mean, that's the conflict here. You can't make change if you're bringing everybody back.
Yeah, and I like that part here when you say this. Assuming Williams plays next season on his qualifying offer, which is 12.97, and the rest of the roster remains intact, no LaVine trade, no medical retirement for Ball, while letting Drummond, Green, Craig, and Batum lead the team, the Bulls would still be over $11.4 million in the luxury tax, $4.4 million past the first apron, and that's before the roster is even set. And then my favorite part is even reducing DeMar DeRozan's number to $30 million
instead of 40.
Puts them just above the tax, assuming there are no other moves. Basically, you got to do something.
If you negotiate DeMar down to $30 million annually,
you still asked.
You're still going to be over the tax line with a 12-man roster.
With a 12-man roster that has everybody else on it. And AK said there was going to be change. So at a certain point, like, there has to be.
Yes.
I've been saying it, guys. There has to be major change if there's going to be any change.
No, you're right.
And I wonder what direction that's going to go. There are a couple of options here. I think we can probably start with LaVine.
Okay.
And just that
43. Do you want to pull up a salary cap sheet that you threw to Joey?
Yeah, Joey, would you just throw the cap holds too, just to kind of give a sense of like where it is.
Okay.
So there's a lot of colors here, a lot of numbers. I think the most important part is that highlighted red box, as you can see on the YouTube screen if you're watching along with us.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
That as it stands right now, this is with cap holds. And cap holds are basically salary cap placeholders that show like the most amount of money that you could pay. So they don't end up being this much. But basically,
that one showing nearly 43 for DeMar and Patrick starting a new contract at 29.5.
Which again is not
clearly not going to happen.
Remotely close. But with that, the Bulls are $42 million above the tax. And that kind of illustrates that they are going to be an above the cap team. So even if you wipe DeMar, even if you bring back Patrick Williams at, you know, $13 million as qualifying offer, it just becomes very difficult to like navigate anything to be real players for somebody like Paul George. You're looking at that mid-level exception we talked about, which is $12.9 million. That's not enough to give you an impact talent. You know, you could find a diamond in the rough, somebody who could be really helpful. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, if you kind of run it back that way, you're looking at a very, very similar roster, if not the exact same one, minus a few pieces in order to kind of make those things work. Mm. So with that being said, I think LaVine becomes the first domino that the Bulls are going to try to knock over. Mm-hmm. He's obviously got that $43 million contract for next year. He's got 3 years and about $139 million left in total. And so they're going to explore options, because if you kind of remove that money or you take back some portion of that money and you're able to move LaVine into another team's cap space, or another team is able to absorb, you know, and return back half of his salary, that opens up a lot of space for the Bulls to where they can start to look at bringing things back. And that's, I think, going to be their first order of business. They have to figure out if there is a chance they can move LaVine. And if they can't, then you start to have to worry about other options. Can you bring up the next one, Joey?
The next slide, please.
Next slide.
Which one was it? I got to remember what I gave you. Continuity, please.
Barf.
Okay, so this one is a little bit more of like a realistic possibility. So again, a lot of numbers, a lot of colors, but you look at Zach LaVine with his $43 million. You look at DeMar DeRozan on that reported $40 million figure.
And then this one has Patrick at the qualifying offer.
Exactly.
And that's just under 13.
Which honestly, like, I think there's a good chance somebody offers him 14, 16, 18, $20 million in restricted free agency. And that puts some pressure on
like
the Bulls.
Like on a multi-year deal with that as an average annual salary?
Yeah. I would not be surprised if a team like the Pistons, for example, threw a $20 million offer sheet at Patrick and said, what are you going to do, Bulls? We want a young forward.
That's a tough match to ask.
Seriously. It'd be a tough, but that's part of the reason why this situation is so trying, because basically – until you move Zach, you're not going to even have space to bring back Patrick. So, and I don't think the Bulls are going to risk getting stuck above the tax just to, you know, sign everybody back that they already have in the event that they can hopefully trade LaVine. I just don't think they would risk
Which is why, you know, you mentioned the whole, you know, they could sign an extension for DeMar before even letting him reach free agency. They have until June 30th to do that.
Yep.
But if they do that and can't find a trade partner for Zach, and they do not move off of Lonzo's money or decrease Lonzo's money in the two options you laid out, and we can go over that too, then the Bulls are just risking being grossly over that luxury tax line and knowing that they will not allow that to happen.
Yeah, they're just not going to do it. Basically, this whole thing was an explanation of why that's just not going to happen. You know, AK said there's going to be changes.
And, I mean, what is the likelihood of them solving those other dominoes before needing to make that decision on DeMar?
I think that's where things get really tricky. Like I said, you're not going to get yourself stuck $10, $12 million above the luxury tax line without first knowing that you can move LaVine.
Yeah.
Because if you can't move LaVine, now you're looking at, well, shoot, like, do we have to just let DeMar walk for nothing? Mm-hmm. Do we have to let Patrick Williams walk for nothing? Do we have to attach a pick in order to move off of Zach so that we can bring back DeMar and Patrick just to run it back again? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a feasible or realistic outcome for a team that, like I said, the executive vice president of basketball operations said what he saw was not good enough and there needs to be changes. I think that's going to, the hope for them is probably going to start with Zach LaVine, but that extension deadline is coming up. It's June 30th. That free agency period comes up quick. It's before the draft, or I'm sorry, it's after the draft. Right. So it's just going to be tough to like fully resolve those situations before you have to make a decision on DeMar and how much you can offer him.
And that's why I like when you wrote it, when you, in three simple words, timing is critical.
Yeah.
Finding a new home for LaVine and determining Ball's potential to return before it's time to re-sign DeRozan and Williams will be a challenge. Free agency, like you said, July 30th. It's unlikely LaVine will be the primary target of any team on a star market. Other dominoes will have to fall before teams turn their sight to LaVine. That's poetry.
If LaVine is a trade market consolation prize,
you've already lost.
Yes.
For teams out there trying to add a quasi-star or star talent level player, and then the Bulls have to wait out to see which teams struck out on a Paul George or a whoever else.
You're screwed.
Man. Man.
Your timing is crazy.
But on the bright side, Books in the comments said, at least, thank God we got Vooch tied down for his prime years, right? Oh, my God.
Buckle up for
Jay Mandy in the comments saying he doesn't think they're going to let Pat walk. I mean, he is their prize number four pick. But man, if he signs an offer sheet somewhere,
that's a tough position. They
creeping
put
closer
in.
To that 20 mil figure that we've heard from various reports that he is looking for on a multi-year deal.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's as likely after he ended this season missing a lot of games with an injury.
Kobe's his best friend. That plays into it too.
Speaking of Kobe, Ant in the comments said, trade Zach to Brooklyn. Give us Kobe's UNC teammate Cam Johnson. See if we can package something else for Claxton. Oh, pie in the sky. How lovely. We got to take our second break. We will come back in and then dive into those options the Bulls might explore when it comes to Lonzo Ball, his fourth year that he just picked up the other day, and if that could offer at least some cap relief for AK and Eversley this summer. Right. We will do that and more talk about the Bulls cap on the other side of the break. Hit that like button now if you didn't do it the first time around. Big Dave.
Chilling. Beer.
Always.
Always what it do.
Chilling and beer.
That's it. Take a sip of that, man.
Cold as the Rockies.
Oh, between work, social media, and the choices life throws your way, like luxury tax. It's no wonder we're more worked up. Coors Light celebrates rising above and choosing a chill mindset. Why not turn a rained out barbecue that's having a now into a karaoke house party? That's right. Or, after a tough loss, settle scores with an ice-cold peace offering. Make the choice to choose chill and then reach for a Coors Light and its Mountain Cold refreshment. Because you know when those mountains turn blue, we make it do what it do. It's as cold as the Rockies, baby. Coors Light is cold lager, cold filter, cold package for a smoother finish. And when you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill. Crack open a Coors Light. Crack them. Shout out to our guy Buzz. Coors Light is Mountain Cold refreshment. Crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, not the baseball team, because yuck. Make the most out of the times you choose to chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door via Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Coors Light! Find it chill.
Today's CHGO Bulls also brought to you by Lucy Nicotine. Are you looking to level up your nicotine routine? You can do so with Lucy. Made for your nicotine routine and delivered straight to your door.
You.
It's 100% pure nicotine and always 100% tobacco free. Nice. You can choose what form you want it in. They offer pouches. They offer breakers, which are pouches with a little flavor burst bubble in them.
Okay.
I love them. I got a pack of the Berry Citrus breakers right now.
Okay.
I mean, just delightful flavor. Or, of course, the old standard nicotine gum. You can also choose your different levels of strength. Maybe if you're just the occasional, a little taste of nicotine kind of person, they have as little as 2 milligrams in all of these different options, pouches, breakers, and gum. Or if you're a more regular nicotine user, you can go all the way up to 12 milligrams, that sweet spot in the middle, 4 to 8 also available. Nice. You can choose from a variety of flavors. They've got the classic mint, apple ice, espresso. I mentioned the berry citrus. That is my favorite right now. They also have mango. I got some mango ones that Lucy sent me. Nice. I'm not a big mango guy, but the mango ones,
on point,
delicious.
Okay.
Also, I mentioned the delivery straight to your door. Save yourself that weekly stop at the gas station. Even if you're like, hey, I don't have an empty tank, but I got to swing in here because I need my nicotine fix. I know that life. I've lived that life. Get rid of that part of your day. Get rid of that chore. Sign up for a monthly subscription. You can save 15% off, and there's no commitment. You can cancel any time. Here's what you do to level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/CHGO Bulls. That's lucy.co/CHGO Bulls and use promo code CHGO Bulls to get 20% off your first order. And again, you can save 15% on top of that after 20% off the first time around. Lucy also offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and promo code CHGO Bulls to get 20% off and always, every time, free shipping. And here comes the fine print, ladies and gentlemen. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy who likes a fruit-flavored kind of thing. So what is it with this that's making you just vibe into it?
I like a good change of pace.
Okay.
I was a smoker for many years, and I think, like, getting a nicotine fix when I still occasionally want one, it's like a more pleasant experience to be like, oh, a little berry citrus flavor, as opposed to like tar. You know? When I was a younger man playing a younger man's game, I was like, yeah, give me that tar in my lungs. And now I'm like, I don't think I need that. I still want a little nicotine every once in a while, but
okay.
Yeah, okay. No. Makes sense. You know, like generally like fruit flavored, I'm not a big fan of like fruit flavored candies and things like that.
Yeah.
But these little pouches and these breakers they make and these fruit flavors, they're delightful.
All right. Right on, man. Glad it's helping, brother. Glad it's helping.
Got rid of the cigarette smoke smell too.
Yeah.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that at all.
All right, guys, let's dive back into this NBA salary cap, Bulls salary cap situation. Let's talk about Lonzo, Will. You pointed out that there is maybe still this window for the designated career ending injury clause.
Yeah.
And that it's not Bulls team doctors. But how did you phrase it, a panel of
independent doctors. So the Bulls would basically file a motion.
Four out of five doctors believe Lonzo's career is over.
Basically, yeah. I mean, the Bulls would file for a panel of doctors And I think what makes this a challenge is that the Players Association and Lonzo have to also be on board with it. The Bulls could say, like, you're not going to play anymore.
Yeah.
But Lonzo is going to say, yeah, I am. I'm trying to come back. Like, right. I'm making progress. I'm on the court. And so they're not going to probably be able to get that money off. I think with his attempted comeback, it makes it difficult. It's still possible that, you know, they try to work around it and the Bulls are able to kind of force the issue. But my expectation is that if they're going to remove Lonzo from the books, it's going to have to come via wave and stretch, which has been talked about a little bit on the Twitter machine of late. Basically, thank you, Joe. Basically, a wave and stretch allows you to pay out the remaining number of dollars over twice the remaining number of years on the contract plus one.
Right.
So Lonzo's got $21 million over next year. If they wave and stretch him, it would be about a $7.1 million dead cap hit on this year, the following year, and the year after that. So three more seasons with about $7 million on the books. And yes, that does provide some relief this year, as you can see. In this example, it's a little bit different than the article because I'm including for basically bringing back Torrey Craig, Javonte Green, and Bitim on the minimums just to fill out the roster because, you know, looking at half of a roster sheet's a little bit weird.
Right.
But if you do that and you have DeMar at $40 million, you have Patrick Williams on the qualifying offer, you are still $4 million over the luxury tax. So, you know, you could maybe find a way to dump Javon Carter, or maybe you get DeMar DeRozan to take a $10 million pay cut. Now you're in the green a little bit here in terms of not being at the tax line, but you still have a full roster and there's no change made. So even with some of that, like, I think a Zach LaVine trade is going to be the one area where the Bulls can shake things up. But again, what if the Pistons throw $20 million at Patrick Williams?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do in that situation? I mean, you can't bring, can you let him walk for nothing? Like, basically, like, everybody's like, well, just sign and trade. If a team like the Pistons, who has cap space, offers Patrick Williams $20 million, they don't have to work out a sign and trade. They can just take him into their cap space.
Right.
So
if Pat takes that offer to the Bulls and the Bulls say we don't want to match it, then he can just go.
They don't have to create room in order to match it by sending out money. So I think the Bulls are in a bit of a precarious situation with that.
Precarious.
And I think, again, it's going to be difficult to figure out a solution on Zach LaVine's contract before you have to re-sign Patrick Williams, before the window to extend DeMar DeRozan is up. And do you want to let him get to unrestricted free agency? Mm-hmm. Do you want to pay DeMar DeRozan $40 million, even $30 or $35 million a year, just to be able to kind of run back the rest with, maybe you do get like a couple of role players and a little bit of cap relief for Zach LaVine. And that allows you to bring back DeMar at $40 million or $35. And it allows you to bring back Patrick Williams at $14 or $15 million a year instead of letting him walk for nothing. You're just running it back. And we saw what happens when you run it back.
A couple times.
They're not good enough to even make the playoffs. And maybe they do kind of hit their stride and, you know, they become the best possible version of themselves. They're a first round out.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And so, again, I think it kind of comes back to this idea that in order to make change, you need to make major change. And tinkering or moving deck chairs around is just going to result in more of the same. And I think they have this window here where DeMar is expiring, where you can kind of pivot into more of a youth movement, whether that includes Kobe and Ayo or not. You know, I haven't really made up my mind how I feel about that, but I think they should be looking at offers just because that's, again, the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. It's just a tough spot to be in. And I think ultimately this DeRozan situation could come to a head before they have to make a decision on LaVine or before they can find a suitor for LaVine. And I think that puts them in a position of weakness where they're not necessarily able to do, they're not, even if they do want to bring DeMar back, they might not be able to.
What is, it doesn't feel like you're saying they can operate from anything but a position of weakness in this situation. They can't control Zach. They can't control DeMar. You just laid out why they might not even be able to control Patrick Williams.
Yep.
So 1,000%. They'll be operating from that weakness perspective all the time, correct?
They're reacting to anything. And that's why, again, I've been pushing for a rebuild. I think that's the one situation where you can take some control
yes.
of,
jump out of, it.
Of your future and of what your team looks like and how you project to be in the future. Like, I don't think this team is going to be very good next year if they run it back again. They weren't very good this year.
Yeah.
They also won 27 out of 44 clutch games.
Yeah.
Like, replicating that as DeMar gets to his age 35, 36 season it's just not feasible.
Wildly improbable.
And so you look to trade Caruso before you have to give him $20 million a year. You look to move Kobe and Ayo if you can get a haul of draft picks. Mm-hmm. You look to do a sign and trade with DeRozan because that might be the only possible option here for you to get something back rather than just letting him walk for nothing. Or seeing what happens with Vooch, you end up overpaying him for the rights to keep him and remain competitive, only for him to decline as a player because he's in his mid to late 30s mm-hmm. by the middle and end of that deal. So I think that's a great point, Dave, and it's a great way to think about it is like, what can we do to take ownership and take accountability and take control of our situation? And I don't see this this continuity, this maintaining things in the middle as being, as that being a possibility.
I mean, you did present one avenue in your column as far as, okay, what can the Bulls control this offseason as far as these financial decisions they have in front of them, and that lots of them are out of their control, at least the starting points and waiting for other dominoes across the league to fall. The Lonzo thing. Mm-hmm. So even if it's unlikely that we get to that career-ending injury, consultation from independent non-team doctors to clear it that way, you brought up that you can also waive and stretch. And in doing so, the rule is paying it out over twice the amount of years of the remaining deal, which for Lonzo is one, so 2 years, and then adding one to that. So basically taking the remaining 1 year and 20-whatever million on Lonzo and dividing it into thirds over 3 years, which would mean paying Lonzo $7.1 million this coming season instead of 21. And if you do that...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you waive and stretch Lonzo, you'll get just under luxury tax by about $2.8 million, as you pointed out. But then still, you're short three roster spots, and you are only a shade less than $3 million away from that luxury tax line.
And more importantly, the rest of the team is the same. Yeah. I mean, again, you might turn Zach into, Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes, and now you've filled out your roster and you've saved some money. Great. What's the upside there? Are you hoping to win a championship with that group? Are you building towards the goal that you just said, that you wanted to be a championship team?
The upside is some Kevin Herter jerseys flying off
Shout
the shelves.
Out, baby. I have a question.
For those children.
The biggest thing to me is the Patrick Williams piece, because he, I think, has the most variation in terms of what he can represent in the long term for the Bulls. They're still, True. It's not... I don't think we're holding out a ton of hope, but there's some hope that he could still develop into, being sort of a different player than what we've seen so far. So, and I think we all sort of feel a similar way about going down the road again with Lonzo or with DeMar and Zach. Mm. But what scenarios does it make the most sense to bring Pat back, and what scenarios does it make the most sense for the Bulls to sort of let him go? I'm thinking about to me, it would make sense to keep him here, on more of a bare bones roster and seeing what he can do in, with the ball in his hands a little bit more of a primary role. But and then I'd go down the road of not keeping him here. And I don't want to pay him because to not lose the asset, because I think we went down that road with Zach. And I think going back again, we probably would have just let him walk if we had the decision now. But that's just those long-term questions, because those are the most significant to, I think, the future. And I'm just wondering, how you think that goes about happening.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. It's not just the cap situation that they're in right now is not just for this year. So if you do that wave and stretch with Lonzo that you suggested, Matt, now you've got $7 million on the books for next year and the year
and
after.
And the year after that.
If you bring back Patrick Williams, it's probably going to be on a multi-year deal. To me, Joey, I think like this is a much different situation than Zach. Mm. The difference between like $15, $18, even $20 million a year and $44 is massive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The difference between signing somebody to a four-year deal at age 22 is way different than at 28.
Right.
And I think if you are headed towards a rebuild, which even if they don't admit to it, even if they do bring back DeMar and Vooch, like they're still in 2 years' time, that window is going to be completely closed. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting over. I just don't think you can let Patrick walk. And I know people are frustrated with Patrick. At the end of the day, like even if he just is what he is now, 10 to 12 points per game, very good defender, 40% three-point shooter, that gets you paid. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at Jaden McDaniels. He's a very similar comparison. I think McDaniels is better, but he's going to be making over 20 this year. So
I feel the same way. Pat's one of the only guys that I think, you know, there is a scenario in which he can become or still even is already a player that, you know, even if the Bulls keep him and things don't go the right, you know, in the right way, he's still an asset for them. It's still, you know, and he's still developing. So
McDaniels signed a 5-year, $131 million deal starting at 22 and ending at 29. Mm. So getting Patrick for under 20, I think is good. I don't think you can afford to let your assets walk. And I think that's going to be a theme from my perspective, talking about the draft too, is like, you have to swing for upside. This team is not in a position to not take chances on talent. And I think Patrick is still a chance on talent. Again, even if he just is what he is, which I don't think is necessarily true, that's a valuable player. Being a 6'8 power forward who can, you know, score and give you really good defense and shoot.
Score and give you defense and, yeah, he can do all those things.
Totally agree.
I feel like you're kind of saying no matter what they choose as far as this year, or even as far as if they want to keep it all, if they whatever, they're just prolonging the inevitable, which is a rebuild, which is going to have to happen regardless. Am I right in that?
That's the way I feel about it. I mean, I think there's a world where basically let's say they're able to get off of Zach scot-free. You either get some salary back or you get rid of most of it. It doesn't cost you any assets to move him. Let's say they signed DeMar for 2 more years, the same as matching up the contracts with Vooch. You know, I'm going to leave Caruso out of it right now because I don't know what's going to happen with him. But you've got like your older core pieces and you've got your younger core pieces. You have this 2-year window where they try to compete and contend, do whatever. And then that's going to be it for Vooch and DeMar on big numbers anyway. I mean, 36 or 37 even for DeRozan and like 35 for Vooch. You're not signing big long-term deals after that. Sure. So at that point, now it's you're changing of the guard to Io, to Kobe, who, by the way, are also up for contracts at that same time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bulls are not going to be able to extend them because they're making so far below what the extension would allow. They're going to be signing. I mean, Kobe's going to be making $30 million a year,
that's
probably.
True.
Io's probably going to be making $20-25. So at that point, you have to be willing to sign those guys big long-term deals. And not only that, you have to be able to put a good team around them to where now they are the veteran guys and you've got this younger group of players and older, you know, veteran minimum type guys that can complement them. So I think that's a possibility. I think it's really threading the needle and like everything goes right. Patrick gets better. Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry become like really solid players. You're able to continue to hit on mid to late first round picks and second round picks. Like that, I think, is best case scenario of what you're hoping for. And again, to me, like that's why I feel like capitalizing on what remaining assets you have and giving yourself more chances down the line makes more sense. Because to me, like that immediate future, that short-term future is not good enough to justify not starting over. Like, what are we?
Agreed. Well, and I mean, as much as Bulls fans love it, I saw something in the comments a minute ago saying, you know, oh, what about, you know, the trade Kobe and trade Io part? I don't know about that. Because Bulls fans kind of have fallen in love with Kobe and Io over the last couple of years, and they were a saving grace for a frustrating team to watch this year and also last year. And you're saying, well, you've got these guys on these great you know, team like team friendly value contracts for 2 more years. Like, and they're young and can still get better. Why do you trade an asset like that? Well, you trade an asset when it's the peak of its trade value.
Exactly.
And if you are talking about needing to start over anyway, you might get quality assets for that, whereas somebody in the comments just say, we got to trade Vooch, that's the first priority, and another Bulls fan smartly followed that up by saying, trade Vooch for what? A bag of chips?
Like chips.
Sure. Lay's?
Yeah.
Some Cheetos?
Doritos, let's go. I'm out of there for that.
Bulls fans thinking that they are going to, or would be able to, steer in a wildly different direction and maybe regain some level of competitiveness by making trades for Zach and or Vooch and or a sign and trade for DeMar and getting that player value back in that to steer your roster construction in a new direction while not tanking towards the bottom. Those trades don't exist unless I'm missing something.
No, I think that's the will that's kind of sent everybody out here right now. Like, of course, you want to make those trades and bring in some ads. Like, hey, bring them around Kobe and build around that. And then we could be cool, you know, and young. But the point is, they don't exist out there. When your best player, or arguably your best player, can't get traded, you know what I mean, during an offseason, and still it's up in the air whether he can or not, that's kind of letting you know what I mean? The NBA is letting you know what they feel about you. Not what we feel about them, which is what Matt is stating. Not what you guys feel. Not what I might feel or he might feel or he might feel. The league is telling you how they feel about these guys. And that's where you have to hold your kind of standard, too, and operate from.
And you talking about Io and Kobe being up for new deals in just a couple of years, Will, if they, you know, get DeMar here for a two-year thing that now lines up with Io and Kobe and the other vet, Vooch, a prodigy in the comments saying, Io and Kobe are good players, but not players to go build a team around.
Could the Bulls, could they be the best players on a team that gets to the second round of the playoffs? How about just getting to the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. No.
Like,
not the versions we've seen.
When they played well.
As of right now, no.
They saw DeMar, and they weren't the best players. So I'm not saying no either, but I think that's like the big question you have to ask yourself is like, can these be the best players on playoff teams that win 45 to 50 games? Can they be the best players on a team that gets to the conference finals or to a finals or that wins a championship?
Sure.
I don't know. That's a question that AK is going to have to answer. But at the end of the day, like, if not, I would consider trading them. And again, I'm not saying they have to do that. I think another version of this is you keep Zach because you can't get anything for him. You keep Vooch because you can't get anything for him. You get whatever you can for DeMar in a sign-in trade, or you let him walk. You get whatever you can for Caruso in a trade before you have to either decide you want to give him $20 million a year for the next 4 years, going from his age 31 to age 34 seasons. And then you try to let Zach cook, and you let Vooch cook, and you let them play alongside Kobe, and you try to build up their trade value to where you can move them down the line, and then you make some of those decisions from a position of power. I think that's probably what I would do, and then make decisions on Kobe and Io at the deadline or next summer. But to me, like, you obviously have to make a decision on DeMar now. I think waiting another half season on Caruso would be a big mistake because you have less leverage. He has more control over where he decides to sign, or you just keep him the way you did Drummond and potentially lose him for nothing, except for he could actually get you a ton of value back. So that's probably the direction I would go, and then prolong the decision on Kobe and Io. But like, this is not, like I saw somebody saying, I'm such a Zach hater. Like, that's just not true. I'm just a person who's thinking about the long-term future of the Bulls and how do they get back to competing at a high level. And if they want to continue on their path, they have to trade Zach. That's been made clear by AK, basically, and by Zach. Both parties are comfortable with the trade.
Yeah.
If they want to go a different direction, then that probably means DeRozan. And that means keeping Zach, unless you can get positive value for him, and then moving on to something else when he kind of regains some of his value after playing half a season and hopefully putting up some numbers.
And the comment saying, LOL at letting Vooch cook. Julia said, the only thing Vooch is going to cook is the rubber on the bottoms of his shoes.
God damn.
Fox says, Vooch going to cook, and we're all getting food poisoning.
Oh, wow. Man. Good Lord.
My goodness.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, this is a dicey financial situation the Bulls are approaching this summer. I mean, I do not know how they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it, you know, as we've laid out, is not necessarily, you know, in their hands from the get-go.
Yeah.
What is the market for a player like Zach going to be after some bigger name dominoes fall?
Can I ask you a quick question? How big is the draft going to be for the Bulls as far as making these kind of decisions going forward?
So in terms of like who they select or where they end up? Yeah, I mean, if this was last year and they got lucky and drafted Wembanyama, like they could have been in a situation where
don't do this to them.
Those
March and April wins were fun though, right?
Like that's a situation where you've got your franchise player. Wembanyama,
yo.
And you can afford to like try to be good around him without like hurrying him up. I don't think this draft has that player. So maybe you draft a high level role player and you continue to build that infrastructure. So, you know, we've talked about Zachary Risachet. If you can get him and now you've got Patrick and Zachary on the wing, you've got a couple of good guards in the backcourt. Now you're kind of like a star away where you can plug somebody in and that starts to make a little bit more sense. Or what I think they should probably do is take swings on upside. And, you know, I don't think Topic or Sar will be available where the Bulls are picking unless they move up. But I think at this point, given the state of the roster, like they need to be taking swings on upside. I understand from a team building construction that you need good role players, but I think the longer you kind of kick the can down the road of trying to find that star, the harder it becomes. Mm. You end up kind of treading water right above the bottom. And that's kind of what happened with the Bulls during their last rebuild, where they never got lucky and got that first pick. They also didn't put themselves in a position to get lucky with having multiple picks. They got one additional pick for Nikola Mirotic, which turns into Chandler Hutchinson. Like, they didn't give themselves a chance to get lucky in the draft. They didn't give themselves multiple picks. I think looking at this the way that the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were in the playoffs until the bubble, they tore it down. They missed playoffs for 2 years, but since they had so many picks, they're now able to try to compete while also still operating in a position of surplus when it comes to draft assets. Sure. And the Bulls are never going to get there because that probably will never happen again in terms of the volume and quantity of picks that the Thunder have.
Sure.
But they can do something close. And then you've got to hit. That's the same with everybody else. You've got to hit on your draft picks. You got to develop young players. You got to build through the draft. And then you start to supplement with, you know, veterans that can come in. I mean, you look at the Thunder, you look at the Magic, and then you contrast that with teams like the Clippers and the Bulls, who kind of sold their souls for aging veterans, and they just were never able to get to that level.
Yeah. Charlie in the comments saying, only thing we've got going for us is we're in the East. If we were in the West, it would take a damn near decade for us to turn this around. And I mean, I think generally speaking, that's true, but OKC is a perfect example of the fact that if you get lucky and make your trades well and draft well, you can turn it around fairly quickly.
And I think, like, if you just got a pick and a young player for Caruso and maybe, like, a mid to okay asset for DeRozan, like a late first-round pick or, you know, a decent young player, now you've got Kobe and Ayo, you've got Patrick still because you've got room for him. Like I said, maybe you kick the can down the road on the Zach trade to where you can get something positive for him. You've got Dalen Terry, you've got Julian Phillips, you've got your own pick at number 11 this year, you've got multiple future picks. Like, that's a great situation. Mm. This is not like a situation where everything is going to be a disaster and they have no options or outs. Mm-hmm. I think it becomes that way if you let guys expire without trading for them, or you wait until their value is so low that you can't get anything back, like what happened with Vooch and what's probably going to happen with DeMar here. But just trading Caruso for a pick and young player, I think, sets you up so well and gives you a lot of other optionality to where you have different places you can go and you have a little bit more room to maneuver. Mm-hmm. Because as much as we've said, the margin for error with this team is so little on the basketball court, it's just as slim in the front office and on the cap sheet. Mm. And I think they really need to help themselves try to get into a better position by capitalizing on the assets that they do have.
64 Hoops in the comments said, Peck, that quick turnaround requires a good front office. Yeah, I'm aware of that. And I am also aware of the fact that I have no faith in ours. So all of this is bad. And I have no faith that the Bulls will ever be anywhere near championship contenders ever again. And we're all going to die. And we're all going to die someday. But here we are talking about the Bulls 5 days a week because life is fun. What else would we do?
That's right.
Like, go to a real job?
No, I'd be doing this at that job.
Hell with that.
I'd still be talking Bulls all the time. This is what it is, y'all.
Exactly. And misery loves company. So we will always be here for you, our fellow Bulls fans. We are out of time. Real quick before we go, are the T-Wolves going to sweep the defending champs out of the playoffs?
I'm going to say no.
No.
But damn.
But
but damn.
We've been waiting for that Nuggets game where they finally get their shit together.
It ain't happening.
It was not last night.
They threw a temper tantrum last night.
Dude.
They were.
I mean, do we think Jamal Murray's going to get suspended?
He might get suspended.
You see Draymond quote tweeting and say that he'd be in Guantanamo.
Draymond needs to take a lesson from Pat Riley. And if he's not in
the game.
I think they're getting swept.
You think they're getting swept?
I think I said it yesterday. I think they're getting swept.
This Nuggets team has too much pride for that.
I just think that
Nuggets
too.
In seven is still on the table for you guys.
It is
still there.
It could happen,
but they got to get something together,
dude.
35-point half team. Yesterday without the defensive player of the year.
But I'm saying
they held
like
the Nuggets to 80 points,
They shot 30% from the field. They shot 50% from the field and 40% from three is what Minnesota did.
And I like
that's
what,
crazy.
I like what the Wolves are doing defensively with without Gobert, by the way.
Yeah.
Swarm.
They're Gobert just like too. They're taking away Michael Porter.
Yep.
They're taking away those lobs to Aaron Gordon for the dunker spot. And they're just like forcing Jokic and Murray to do everything.
Yeah.
That team is like those guys are obviously amazing scorers, but it's just hard to beat a team with two guys. Yeah.
Also, how the T-Wolves in game two especially forced Joker to defend.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy Stefan Noah. He did a great video breakdown of some of the things that T-Wolves were doing to force Jokic away from the basket more, putting him in more actions, regardless of who he was on, who the Nuggets tried to hide him on. Yep. The Nuggets are in trouble, man. They're in trouble.
Not denying that.
But yeah, I mean, I said this series was going to go seven games. It still might.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Knicks take game one of the Pacers. I still think that series can go in any which way.
I had no fun watching that game.
It was a weird game. Officiating was a little weird.
I turned it off, real.
Tonight, we got Celtics-Cavs kicking off their conference semis at 6 o'clock Central, and then Mavs-Thunder game one, 8:30. Yeah. Who are we taking in game one? Celtics?
Boston and Thunder.
Boston and Thunder.
Boston and Thunder?
Mm. Celtics and OKC.
I think so. Joe, who's winning the game ones tonight?
Boston and Dallas.
Ooh, Joey taking the Mavs. I love it. All right, we are out of time. We will get out of here. Back tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 p.m. Central, live in studio with another fresh episode for y'all. Do not go anywhere because right here on our CCO Sports YouTube channel, we got NHL Draft Lottery action on deck. What time are y'all starting live, Mario?
5:30.
5:30?
Let's get out of here.
5:30 Central. Stay right here. Let's all watch the Blackhawks get the number one pick again.
Let's do that.
Let's do it. In the meantime, read Will's Bulls offseason guide, allcho.com. Will_Guiley is where you can follow him. Big day, bow, B-A-W-L, sports on Bulls_Peck. We are CHO_Bulls, our pal, our producer, Joey Spathis, the one and only at Joey Spathis. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night. Enjoy the hoops action. Let's go get that number one pick, Hawks fans. See you, Rebby, good.
We want to see Hype Mario again.
Yeah, let's go.